And now the game where we reward years of hard work with a few moments of discomfort. It's called Not My Job. Mary Higgins Clark is a very nice, sophisticated woman who writes novels about not very nice people who do terrible things. She's one of the most widely published and read authors in the world with millions of books in print. Mary Higgins Clark, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Oh, I am delighted to be with you. Don't be delighted.
Mary, we were reading about your early life, and it's fascinating, and we thought one way of getting into it would just be to ask you your full legal name.
Mary Teresa Eleanor Higgins Clark Carnini. Will that do?
That will do. And so you've traveled quite a fair distance acquiring those names.
Oh, yes. Well, of course, I was born Mary Higgins. I married Warren Clark 60 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was widowed after 14 years, and then after years of virtuous widowhood, I married John Carnini.
I see. And were you a virtuous widow?
Of course I was. I'm a nice Irish Catholic girl from the Bronx.
I understand. You write, though, about very unpleasant people who do various murderous and criminal things.
Well, I always like to read suspense. I like to tell scary stories when I was 6 years old.
Yes.
So I was just sort of drawn into it. You know, I had a checkered career. After school, when I was age 15, I was a switchboard operator at the Hotel Shelton. And our most famous guest, only he wasn't famous then, he had the cheapest room in the hotel, and it was Tennessee Williams.
Oh, really?
And he was writing Glass Menagerie.
The Glass Menagerie, yeah.
Yeah, he was writing it. And funnily enough, all those years later, when I wrote Where Are the Children, and I had sold it, he used to live at the Elise Hotel right around from the office where I was working. And we'd pop in there for a drink after work. And the bartender said, you know, Mary, why don't I show Tennessee Williams a manuscript? Maybe he'd give you a plug. And he did. He said, I know a lot of writers who can write better than that.
Really?
But totally true.
So your first novel was your first big novel was Where Are the Children? It was a big bestseller.
That's right.
And you've written many, many novels since then.
Right.
And I was reading your latest, I've Got You Under My Skin, and it's filled...
Isn't it good?
Oh, it's wonderful. I was just about to say, I don't know any writers better than you. Anyway, and...
I love you, and I'll buy you a drink.
But and what's interesting, thank you, is you seem like a very nice person, and yet you're writing about... Everybody in this book is on some level either a terrible or tormented person, or both. Do you ever, I would do this if I had your job, and certainly had your skill and talent, which is that I would use the opportunity of writing murder mysteries to kill people I don't like.
Oh, of course.
Really? So you've done that?
No, don't get mad, get even.
Right. So you have, for example, met someone or had an encounter with someone personally, professionally, they've rubbed you the wrong way, and you say, you're my next victim.
But, you know, when I was beginning to send out short stories,
yes,
or books, of course, and I had a stack of them, and Red Book was the magazine, once they scribbled on the bottom of the rejection slip, Mrs. Clark, your stories are light, slight, and trite.
Oh!
I thought, I'll get you, baby. I'll get you.
Did you?
No, I don't kill people. I just... maim them.
You maim them. You're a gentle person. Yeah, I've noticed, do you have a method, because you write so many books and you have so many characters, how do you come up with names for them?
Well, you know what I do?
What do you do?
I keep dinner invitations, because we go out a lot. You know, there are a lot of affairs, and it's fun. We have a lot of friends. But I look at the guest list, and I never use the same name, but I wrote one book where I got the newspapers from 1890, and I picked out some names from then. And one day at church, this gal afterwards said to me, oh, thank you for using my name in your book. It was third generation of that family in Spring Lake. And I said, oh, did I? Yes, but she said, why did you strangle me on the boardwalk?
Did you have a good answer?
I said, nothing personal.
No. Well... Mary Higgins Clark, what a pleasure to talk to you. We have invited you here today to play a game that we're calling...
I Got Nothing.
Oh, good. Sounds good.
You're such a cheerful person with such a high body count. It's amazing. You are and have always been incredibly prolific as a writer, so we thought we'd ask you about those writers who are not so prolific, those who suffer from the dreaded curse of writer's block. Answer two of these three questions correctly, taken from an article in The New Yorker by Joan Acacella, and you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice on their voicemail. Bill,
well, don't let them count on it yet.
All right. It's a mystery what may happen. Bill, who is Mary Higgins Clark playing for?
Kirsten Raylor of Soquel, California.
All right. Here we go. Ready to do this?
Sure.
There we go. Now, the term writer's block was invented in the 1940s by a psychologist named Edmund Bergler. What did he think caused writer's block? A, possession by very lazy demons. B, a mental association of black printer's ink with human waste. Or C, vestigial anger over the lack of breastfeeding.
Oh, that's a good one. Well, there's no right answer, so I'll pick the first one.
You're going to pick the... Well, there is a right answer in that he actually thought writer's block was caused by one of these three things.
Well, they're all wrong, but I'll take A.
Oh, I see. You're disagreeing with him. So whatever he might have said, you don't care. It's wrong. So you're just going to pick A, possession by very lazy demons?
Yeah, I am.
Well, they're good for you. That's a good theory, but it's not his theory. His theory was actually C, the breastfeeding. He was a disciple of Freud, of course. He felt that writer's block was caused by, quote, oral masochism, in which the writer becomes enraged at the mother for denying him, or I guess her, milk.
Oh, dear God, how wonderful of him.
Yeah. You have two more.
Tell the poor soul who was going to get a free something or other that I'm sorry.
No, he's not over yet. It's not over yet. You still have two more chances, you see? Now, various people, including scientists, have tried to cure writer's block. Which of these is a cure proposed by a neuroscientist at Harvard? A, putting your outstanding bills in the keyboard every night so the writer must clear them away before getting to work. A little reminder of what they need to do. B, taking a daily dose of Neapolitan ice cream. Or C, waving a magnetic wand over certain parts of the head.
I think looking at the bills is a good incentive. It
you think so?
For me.
Oh, yeah. Do you think that's the... I want to say, though, this is a neuroscientist, someone who's concerned with the chemistry and physiology of the brain.
Okay, what's my alternative?
Your alternative to the looking at the bills is having a daily dose of Neapolitan ice cream. Has to be Neapolitan, though, okay? Or C, waving a magnetic wand over certain parts of the head.
Then I think I have to go for the ice cream at the bills.
I'm just not going to argue with you anymore. No, it was C, the magnetic wand. This neurologist actually believes that writer's block and depression might be alleviated by magnetic fields. You have one more chance here. Let's see if you get this one right. One of the worst ever cases of writer's block is which of these? A, Donald Lau, who writes fortunes for a global fortune cookie company. He says he has been unable to come up with anything since 1995. B, songwriter Rick Carey, the man behind Who Let the Dogs Out. He says every time he tries to write a song, he ends up with a chorus that goes, who, 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 who? Or C, novelist Dan Brown, who says his last two books are just The Da Vinci Code with all the words rearranged.
I kind of go for that one, frankly.
Really? You want to go for Dan Brown?
I think it could be.
You think you're right. It could be, but it isn't. It's the fortune cookie guy. He told The New Yorker, quote, I've written thousands of fortunes, but the inspiration is gone. Bill, how did Mary Higgins Clark do in our quiz?
Mary was perfectly consistent. And misses out on...
Sounds like one of my rejection slips.
Mary, we would never reject you, but I'm sorry to say you miss out on the Hope Diamond.
There you are.
A failure.
I think you were the opposite of a failure, and I think actually going 0-3 on this show is actually a sign of your genius and better priorities. So. Mary Higgins Clark is the author of many, many best-selling books. Her latest, I've Got You Under My Skin, is out now. I can't wait to find out who did it myself. Mary Higgins Clark, thank you so much for joining us.
A great pleasure.
Thanks for joining us. What a pleasure to talk to you. Bye-bye.
sit still. TV, I was waiting with a safety net. Said, don't bury me cause I'm not dead yet. Why don't you tell me about the mystery dance? I wanna know about the mystery dance. Why don't you show me cause I tried it.